Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Thanks, Russ. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
This is Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen and Rebecca. And Reverend Jen and Rebecca are coming to you live from Geneva, Illinois.
In the same room!
It's very, very exciting. We're sorry that we didn't come live to you the last two times.
We've had some rough
technical difficulties. But we are super excited to be here tonight and to bring what is now our second anniversary show, which didn't happen 2 weeks ago. And tonight we're going to focus on humor in our religious traditions, humor in scripture, humor in our spiritual lives. So I'm super excited. For those of you who don't know us, I'm Reverend Jen Kotler. I'm an interim assistant pastor in Geneva, Illinois, and I'm also a spiritual director and life and leadership coach certified by the International Coach Federation. Excited about that, and that's why we're part of the Life Coach Radio Network. And my co-host is Rebecca Stevens.
I am the director of children's and family music at the First Presbyterian Church in Manhattan. Hello, Manhattan. And I'm also a Union Theological Seminarian. I just finished my first year. And I just have to say that after the last two shows that, or not shows, that, you know, humor has been really important in my life. And, you know, when we have technical difficulties or when things don't go our way, it's important to be able to laugh. I had to laugh at myself a little bit and laugh at the situation and just sort of the snafus. We also have a special guest tonight, so special, who is really going to make us laugh. Oh, he's going to make us laugh so hard. We're ready to laugh.
Or not.
I'm already laughing.
Right. We are joined this evening by the Reverend Gavin Meek, who is also my husband. He's an all-around funny guy most of the time.
Right.
Gav, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Well, my biggest claim to fame is that I'm Pastor Jen's husband. Mm-hmm. But I'm also an interim pastor in the Presbyterian Church. Have been for 17 years trained, and now I'm part of the Transitional Ministry Education Consortium of the Presbyterian Church USA, which means I'm one of the faculty members that provides interim education to other pastors. And I've been in seven states, and I'm now in my eighth interim.
So I just want to ask the two of you, because for our listeners who don't know, Jen and Gavin spend, you know, a couple of years in one spot, and then they move. And moving and change and uprooting is, you know, can be emotionally challenging, can be physically challenging. I'm wondering if you can tell me and our listeners about humor in your relationship and how laughing with each other and being able to, you know, handle this change that you guys go through every couple of years, and then how you teach others as you are the, as you teach other interim pastors, and also Jen, your work with pastors' spouses. Do you guys want to talk about that?
Sure. One of the things that Gavin often says is that God has a really funny sense of humor, because when he was called to the ministry and felt called to be in ministry as a pastor, he said that one of the downsides for him when he was listing out the pros and cons was that he would have three or four major moves in his career. And you're on your eighth church in seven states. Is that right, Gav?
Yes.
And in interim work.
In interim work, yeah. Mm-hmm. So when I said yes, I'll become a pastor and I'll make those three or four major lifetime moves for you. God,
God laughed.
God obviously laughed.
We'll see.
I didn't hear it. And said, oh, you don't know what I've got in mind for you.
You have no idea.
But it's been fun. And humor has been very important in ministry. In my ministry, in our relationship, certainly. One of I think one of the wonderful things about our relationship is that I, at least for the most part, I make Jen laugh.
Yeah.
Because of my self-depreciating humor and silliness, fifth grade humor sometimes.
Yep. Just before we're coming on the air, Gavin was pulling up some really bad biblical humor.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have that in store. We're going to ask him periodically to just charm us with one of his jokes that he's pulled off the internet.
Don't turn off. Don't turn it
not
off.
Yet.
Stay
not
with
yet.
Us.
Stay with us just a little while longer. We want to make sure that you know how to join us if you'd like to join the conversation. And we hope that you will. We hope the conversation. If you want to call us, you can call us live and we'll talk to you on the air. The call-in number is area code 646-716-9397. Again, that's 646-716-9397. And when you call in, make sure that you press the number 1 so that we can know that you're in the queue. And we will get to you. We will bring you on the air. We're looking forward to talking to you this evening. So, Rebecca, I know that you had spoken with Zachary, your partner, and he had some resources around biblical humor and humor in the scriptures.
Yeah. So Zachary is a recently graduated from Union, and he is a biblical Hebrew and biblical Greek scholar. And so he likes to find the places in the Bible, the Old and the New Testament in the original language, where there might be like a turn of phrase or puns. There are a lot of puns. There's a lot of irony in the Bible. My favorite article written by, just want to credit the author, Robin Gallagher Branch. And Robin Gallagher Branch is a professor of biblical studies at Victory University in Memphis, Tennessee. And she got her PhD in Hebrew studies from the University of Texas in Austin in 2000. She's a Fulbright scholar. So she says, which is my favorite part of biblical humor is the book of Jonah. And we study this book as children. Like, we know that Jonah got like swallowed by a whale, and that's pretty funny. Like, that's even in there, like, just to think about, like, that just sounds really weird and funny. So she says, we are meant to laugh and learn throughout the book of Jonah. Yes, you can laugh at Jonah's open disobedience of going west to Tarshish when God commands him to go northeast to Nineveh. At Jonah's time out, quote unquote, to think about things in the belly of the great fish in Jonah chapter 1:17, and at his pouting, obstinate silence for 3 days while being digested, at his being vomited by the great fish on dry land, somewhere probably in the Mediterranean world, at his terse 7-word sermon to Nineveh, at his anger over the success of this sermon, the repentance of the entire city, but the laughter is sometimes tinged with sadness. For Jonah's anger prevails, and he never understands God's compassion for those who do not know him and for their cattle. Indeed, everything in the book of Jonah, the sailors, sea, big fish, gourd vine, hot wind, and the Ninevites obeys God, everything and everybody except one, Jonah. God shows his colors of compassion and mercy, and Jonah disdains him. Mm-hmm. So that's what Robin says about humor, which, again, I think we all find ourselves in that situation sometimes where God is like, you should be doing this, you should be doing this, you should be doing this, and everybody else is doing it, and everybody else is going along. And, well, at least I say I find myself in that situation. And I'm like, this, you know, and then I look back on it, and I'm like, yeah, that is ridiculous. Like how ridiculous I acted in that moment. So we do have the example of Jonah, and we are told, you know, in so many parts of the Bible, laughing is important. God laughs. People laugh in the Bible. Ecclesiastes says there is a time to laugh. There's a time for joy. Sarah laughed when she was told she was going to have a baby. She thought that was really funny. And I guess at 89 years old, that would be kind of funny.
Right.
So, yeah. So there's definitely, there aren't so much jokes in the Bible as much as there is humor, and a sense of humor in the Bible. So speaking of sense of humor, I'm wondering if Gavin, can you start us with one of your,
do you want one of the corny ones online or one of the ones that I often tell.
Yeah, tell us one of Gavin's jokes.
Oh gosh.
No, give us a corny one.
No, yeah. Corny.
Dan's worried about that.
Young listeners, close your ears. Just kidding. Go ahead.
Well, there's these corny jokes here that, you know, holy water, get water and boil the devil out of it. you know, what did Adam say on the day before? On the day before Christmas, it's Christmas Eve. How does Moses make coffee? He brews it.
Love it.
One of my favorite spiritual writers is Frederick Buechner. And I just love the way he describes the scriptures. Mm. And so one of my favorite books that I've pretty much worn out, it's called Peculiar Treasures, and it's a biblical who's who. And we say there's not so much, you know, jokes in the Bible as humor. Well, my favorite humorous scripture, aside from Jonah, mm-hmm. I love Jonah, is in Hosea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, and I think he nails it the way that he describes Gomer, who is Hosea's wife. So probably this is a minor prophet. You don't necessarily know about Hosea, but Gomer was a person of ill repute, if you will. She was a prostitute, as the tradition has it. And because the Hebrew people, the way it's spun is that because of the Hebrew people mm-hmm. were being unfaithful to God,
right?
They called Hosea to bring on an unfaithful spouse. Mm-hmm. So this is how Buechner describes Gomer. She was always good company, a little heavy with the lipstick, maybe a little less than choosy about men and booze, a little loud, but great on a party and always good for a laugh. Then the prophet Hosea came along wearing a sandwich board that read, "The end is at hand" on one side and "Watch out" on the other. The first time he asked her to marry him, she thought he was kidding. The second time, she knew he was serious, but thought he was crazy. The third time, she said yes. He wasn't exactly a swinger, but he had a kind face and he was generous and he wasn't all that crazier than everybody else. Hmm. Besides, any fool could see he loved her.
Mm-hmm.
Give or take a little while, she even loved him back for a while. And they had three children, whose Hosea named with queer names like "Not Pitied," for God will no longer pity Israel right. Now that it's gone to the dogs.
That's right.
And literally, in Hebrew, the name is "Not Pitied."
That's right.
So that every time the roll was called at school, Jose would be scoring a prophetic bullseye in absentia.
Oh.
But everybody could see the marriage wasn't going to last, and it didn't. While Jose was off hitting the sawdust trail, Gomer took to hitting as many night spots as she could squeeze into a night, and any resemblance between her next batch of children and Hosea was purely coincidental. It almost killed him, of course. Every time he raised a hand, he burst into tears. Every time she raised one to him, he was the one who ended up apologizing. He tried locking her out of the house a few times when she wasn't in by 5 a.m, but he always opened the door when she finally showed up and helped her get into bed if she couldn't see straight enough to get there herself. Then one day, she didn't show up at all. He swore that this time that he was through with her for keeps, but of course he wasn't. When he finally found her, she was lying passed out in a highly specialized establishment located above an adult bookstore, and he had to pay the management plenty to let her out of her contract. She'd lost her front teeth and picked up some scars. She had to see to believe, but Hosea had her back again, and that seemed to be all that mattered. He said he changed his sandwich board to read, "God is love" on one side and "There's no end to it" on the other. And when he stood at the street corner belting out, "How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? For I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst." Nobody, you finish reading this, because I always get choked
beautiful.
Up.
Beautiful.
Nobody can say how many converts he made, but one thing that's for sure is that, including Gomer's, there was seldom a dry eye in the house. Yeah.
Wonderful.
That's the fact that, you know, one of his kids was named Lo-Ami, which means not my. And, you know, it's just, it was remarkable the way that that relationship between Gomer and Hosea is sort of portrayed in that book and likened to our relationship with God. Awesome. And that, you know, just as with Gomer, there's no end of God's love, regardless of how much we are unfaithful.
Yeah.
To God, God is still loves us and always welcomes us back.
Well, and it was a learning for Jose. You know, the amount of love that God has for God's people. Yes, God is a demanding God and a God who wants righteousness and justice and, you know, good behavior. Always the trump card is grace and that unconditional love.
Well, and I think that that's part of Jesus's role in all of that is like to remind us, like God, one thing that I struggled with in seminary this year is learning about, I mean, I knew that like, especially in the Old Testament, that like God isn't always nice. Like it's not always funny, you know, it's not always. And sometimes it's really, really, really traumatic. And you know, Jesus the presence of Jesus in my life reminds me that, like, you know, he is the physical embodiment of that grace and of that mercy that we can all like turn to and be like, oh yeah. But then there is grace and mercy. Thank goodness, you know, thank goodness for that. So,
okay, another bad joke, Gavin.
Oh, you're kidding. When was meat first mentioned in the Bible?
When
Noah took Ham into the ark.
Oh,
yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Ham was Noah's son.
Yeah, and how long did Cain, his brother, as long as he was able.
So just want to remind you of the call-in number. If you're listening to us live and you'd like to call in, we'd be welcome. We welcome you into this conversation. Our call-in number is area code 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397.
What I'm going to do, these articles that I have two. One is like a dissertation. I'm going to post them on our Facebook page.
Oh, art. Wonderful.
And if cool. anybody wants to read them, which the dissertation is great because it's got all these references at the end, you know, different books on biblical humor. And I mean, there's just endless. I mean, let's see, the traditional roots of Jewish humor, laughing at the Bible, Jonah as parody, and God created laughter, the Bible is divine comedy. That looks really interesting. So that's John Knox Press. So I'll post these articles on our Facebook page. And that said, please go to our Facebook page.
Go to our Facebook page. Our Facebook page, you can find us at Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen and Rebecca. Like us so that you'll get updates about our shows when they're coming on. We're generally on the second and fourth Monday night of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Pacific time, not to forget 6 p.m. Mountain time, and wherever else in the world you might be if you're listening to us, whatever time it is where you are. So we'd love to have you part of our ongoing conversation. We'd also love to know what kinds of things you'd like to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
What are some areas of spirituality, religion, Christianity, faith, justice, love, compassion that you want to talk about? And we will endeavor to bring that to you. So Rebecca, you're a first year seminarian. So
not anymore.
Oh, that's right. You're a rising second year seminarian.
I'm kidding. Go ahead.
You're not in first grade anymore. You're now in second grade. Because I graduated from first grade. So where have you found humor in your seminary education? So
all over the place. Well, I'll tell you this. I mean, seminary is a weird place. You know, you're learning about, like I said earlier, you know, you learn about some things in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, that are just really disturbing. And I came from a faith background that was not very deep-seated in taking the Bible literally. So finding out that like things were written in there that might not be something we should take literally wasn't really that upsetting to me. I think it was difficult for some other students to understand or to accept some of that stuff. So I found, and of course I live in New York City, and you know, being able to get off campus and do something else was really important to me. Mm-hmm. And again, like if I could do something else that was like going to see a funny movie or something that had nothing to do with what I was doing and I could laugh and I could, you know, be silly. That was really important too. And, you know, seminary is a lot like undergrad in that, like, you know, people want to cut loose. Studying is hard, but there are times to really like enjoy ourselves. We do a drag show every year on Mardi Gras at Union. And I mean, I've never laughed so hard in my life. And so, you know, we do that kind of thing. There's all kinds of ways to sort of unload. And certainly humor is a part of that. And I think, you know, moving forward, that's something that's important to teach to other incoming students. And also people who just moved to New York. Mm. And, you know, I think you guys can appreciate this, having not only lived in New York, but other urban areas, but it's tough.
It's intense.
It's intense. Mm-hmm. And you have to be ready to laugh. And as many times as I've tripped on the stairs going up the subway and had 40 people behind me just walk right past, you know, mm-hmm. you learn to laugh. You learn to laugh and you learn that that's a part of, you know, building your own confidence and understanding what really matters, I guess.
Yeah. I remember when I was in seminary at the Divinity School at the University of Chicago, we would have annually a ministry banquet. Mm. So all three classes of MDiv students would have a banquet, and each class would put on their own skit. Mm-hmm. And the skits were always, you know, intended to be very funny. Sure. I remember our second year, it was rather an elaborate skit, and it was Survivor Swift Hall. And this was back in the early days when Survivor was new, just like 15 years ago. And it was really elaborate. I mean, we videotaped, so we had the beginning of the show live, our skit live, and then we went to videotape, which one of my colleagues, John Best, did all of the video and the editing, and it was hysterical. Hilarious. It was hilarious. I mean, here are these really serious students at the University of Chicago, a really intense academic place and academic program, and we spent so much time on this because we had to. And we would get together and we'd be editing this video. We'd watch what John had edited and we would just be on the floor laughing. Like there wasn't enough laughter.
Right.
Because we really just, we just needed that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So back in the dark ages when you were in seminary, Gavin, how did you guys blow off and enjoy life and laugh?
Oh, that was it. I remember too, we had what we call coffee houses and get together, and we couldn't have alcohol in any of the buildings, the residence halls. They would you know, look the other way. So what, and you couldn't have alcohol in the area where we did the coffee house. So we put a beer, a keg of beer on a truck, and we'd run the hose inside the window. And so the keg was not inside the building.
Technically.
So, and we had, the professors were great. I'll admit, Johanna Voss and Jean March are two Old Testament professors doing a reading and acting out the Song of Solomon. Read to each other back and forth, and it was hilarious. I can't remember one of the passages, you know, your bosom is, you know, whatever. And I just remember Johanna kind of pulling her shirt, looking down at her. On her head or something. It was great. And we had wonderful, the faculty had a great sense of humor, and they loved to cut up with us. Hmm. There were two students, Greg and Blake, were roommates, and they lived off campus, and their apartment was broken into. And we, and they their stereo system was stolen, and at the local bar, Phoenix Hill, big bar actually, in downtown Louisville, they were having a contest, and the winner got a big, huge stereo system. It was incredible, and it was a bathing suit contest.
Oh, good Lord.
So, and so Greg and Blake dressed up like nerds, and they had this skit that they would do at the coffee houses. The nerds, or I don't know what they call themselves, but they dressed up like those two nerds would dress up going to the beach. Okay. And oh my, and they entered this bathing suit contest with all these good looking women. So, and we were all down there in mass. And of course, a lot of other people thought it was hilarious, and they won. They won. And
are
they,
you serious?
Yes, they won.
Oh my gosh.
And you know what? I'm not so sure. It was a stereo outfit that was up for, I think it was, there was a, like $1,000 prize or something.
Wow.
I think that was it. I think it was a dollar. And they were going to buy the stereo outfit. So, I mean, that's the way we kind of, I mean, that's the way we just had fun. It was good fun.
Do you have another joke for us?
Well, I mean, I've got some that I use sometimes in sermons. Like, I love using this one with stewardship. It's just one of of my favorites. Some of the older folks might remember Reverend Leroy.
Okay.
And Reverend Leroy was one of the characters of Flip Wilson. And Flip Wilson was a comedian. Yeah. And he had even the Flip Wilson variety show or something like that. And he's kind of the African-American version of like Milton Berle, Robin Williams, Chris Rock, you know, somebody like that. And you know, Reverend Leroy. And so he has these characters, all these different characters. And one of them is Reverend Leroy.
Okay.
And Reverend Leroy is preaching to his new congregation about his vision for the church and said, you know, with the help of Almighty God, there's going to come a day when this church will no longer crawl, but will stand up and walk. Make it walk, Reverend. Make it walk. The congregation responds. And then this congregation, when it has learned, God Almighty is going to cause this church to leap up and run. Make it run, Reverend. Make it run. And when this church has learned how to run the race set before it, God Almighty will cause this church to take off and fly. Make it fly, Reverend. Make it fly, the congregation responds. And for God Almighty to make this church fly, it's going to take money. Lots of your money. Let it crawl, Reverend. Let it crawl.
I love it.
Humor is a good way of using. It is good to use to make a point.
Yeah.
And to especially people might feel a little uncomfortable about.
Yeah.
It kind of lowers the barriers. Mm-hmm. I mean, even Jesus in some of his parables.
Yeah.
Really, it maybe not so much humor, but he certainly turn the tide,
yep.
You know, who is my neighbor,
right?
You know, and then he told this story, and really, I mean, the audience knew, oh my gosh, he just burned that, mm-hmm. that teacher of the law,
yep.
You know, he just, oh my gosh, and it was, some of them probably in the audience were chuckling.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of burns,
yeah,
right? Like there's a lot of times when either God or
yeah.
Jesus or somebody is like, oh, burn, you know?
Mm-hmm. I love that one of my favorite parables is, I call it the parable of the barns. It's about the rich man who has so much and has accumulated so much that he needs to tear down his barns and build bigger ones.
Right.
So I'm going to build bigger barns.
Right.
And what in the Greek it says, and it doesn't get translated very well into English,
mm-hmm.
because it says, you know, this night,
you'll lose
your life. And,
right.
And it's, but the pronoun that's being used,
mm-hmm.
It says this night your life is required of you.
Right.
It actually points back to the barns.
Uh-huh,
So it's like there's these, you know, these kind of monster barns. Like the barns are going to come to life, mm-hmm. and attack the person. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be consumed by his consumption.
Yep.
And that really is a powerful mm-hmm. image.
Sure.
And it's funny.
It's like, funny.
Okay, here come the barns. Like, you know, you sort of see as I picture a, you know, Stephen King kind
I love that.
Inanimate objects coming to life in order to attack.
When barns attack. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you all the call-in number. We've got 27 minutes left. Our time always flies when we're on the air. So our call-in number, if you'd like to join our conversation, you have a question or a comment or a joke, we're open for jokes. Our call-in number is 646-716-9397. 646-716-9397. You're listening to Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen and Rebecca on the Life Coach Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. So
I was going to ask you guys about, again, I keep talking about my new seminary career, which I don't know how interesting that is, but
it seems to be up for you.
And it's kind of up for me right now.
Yeah,
but
it's right there.
But I wanted to ask about humor in sermons, sermon writing, and like when you write a sermon or when you give a sermon. And I'm wondering, you know, especially sermon, like you said, like when you're having to deal with something uncomfortable at a funeral, when you're talking about money, you know, capital campaigns or whatever, like humor can be like, you know, when are times that you would use humor, but also like when is the time that it's not appropriate to talk, you know, to make jokes? Be your, like, what would be your boundary with humor and sermons?
I think it's always, it adds some levity, especially if you're making fun of like yourself. It's self-deprecating humor, or you've got some cute little anecdote. That's fun. I mean, certainly at a memorial service, funeral service, service witness to the resurrection, it's not necessarily inappropriate to have humor, especially if the person who you're doing the service for was a pretty funny person. Like, I think I can imagine that Gavin's funeral will be pretty darn funny because he's a pretty funny person and he would want it to be funny.
And they're going to make fun of me. And that's fine because no one makes fun of me more than me.
You do.
Well, I've got a great example. A dear soul, Bob Kilgore, who was a Southern Baptist minister, and but left the Southern Baptist Convention because of yet taking a very conservative turn that he wasn't comfortable with. He joined the Presbyterian Church. He became a Presbyterian elder, and he was a wonderful, wonderful soul. In my first interim, Trinity Presbyterian in Louisville, and he got cancer and he died, and it was pretty quick. And he, I mean, he was, I think, in his 70s somewhere, mid-70s or whatever. Probably was older than I thought because he just, you know. And he had, oh, he had a wonderful son. But it was really hard. His wife was a sweetie. And at the funeral. And, of course, he picked out all his hymns and all his scripture. And we worked that all out. And then, so right before the scripture passage, I said to the congregation that this passage meant a lot to him. It was Paul and Corinthians, and for the life of me, I can go back. I can't remember what the passage was.
Right.
But I said it meant so much to Bob. Jen's heard this story. She's already laughing. and the church is packed, you know, right. We're all mourning. And so I start reading it, and I realize I'm reading it. This is not the passage.
No.
Because the passage was... that I was reading was about circumcision.
I
followed the rule that I generally share with to seminarians, you know, well, when in doubt, be bold. And so
and
I
when
read
in
it.
Real doubt, be bolder.
Yes. So I got done immediately looked down and see that I had the right verses, the wrong chapter.
Okay.
And so I just kind of said, friends, I made a mistake. It is not chapter 8, it's chapter 7 that was Bob's. I'm sure he did not have an affinity towards circumcision. The whole congregation does happen. It really cut through, and no one laughed more than his wife. And she was, you know, her tears of sadness turned to tears of laughter. And I said, no one is laughing harder than Bob up in heaven.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure he probably turned the page.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So, you know, it's, but, you know, there are, obviously there are times that humor is not appropriate.
Yeah, right.
I can think of, a funeral that I did for a stillborn baby. I can think of a suicide that was just tragic, and I couldn't. I don't know if I could have. You know, there was nothing funny.
Right, right.
It's not to say that obviously that there's not humor.
Yeah.
At funerals.
Yeah.
There's not humor in tense times. but there are times that humor is not appropriate.
Right. Right. One of the opportunities that I had when I was in New York City at Park Avenue Christian Church was to assist in the funeral of Patrice O'Neill, who was a Comedy Central comic. And if you can imagine a funeral where some of the people who are eulogizing the deceased, who, if anybody knows, I can go back, I do not say that you got recommended to listen to Patrice O'Neill from me, because he is, I mean, very harsh, very bad language, but and just cut people to the quick. But Kevin Hart was one of the people that eulogized him. Colin, Farrell was another one. Yeah. And these were his dear friends. Mm-hmm. And all I can say is I have never laughed so hard at a funeral. I mean, and it was tragic. And he was cut down, you know, in the prime of his life. He died of a heart attack. He was a big, big guy.
Uh-huh.
But the only way that his friends knew how to deal with their grief, and Chris Rock was in the audience, and Wanda Sykes was in the audience, and they had to laugh,
right?
They had to, you know, process their grief in a way that made sense, and it wasn't inappropriate,
right?
It was just very, very.
Sounds like it was
funny.
Quite appropriate.
Yeah.
And most,
he would have probably wanted it that way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just like I want it that way. I don't care how tragic how I die. Mm-hmm. I mean, there better be some humor. I'm going to haunt people. and I've already said, and I was saying just not long ago, because we've had a number of deaths at the church just in the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to people, whatever you do, if you want to have a little something after church, fine. Go someplace after that and be sure that there's wine and scotch and bourbon and beer.
Yeah.
And sit around and tell Gavin stories.
Yeah. And tell stories on me.
I just want to
give you
the call number. Gavin's going
to
leave our conversation.
Okay. Thank you, Gavin.
Yep, you're welcome. Take care. I'd love to stay longer, but.
And I want to just give everybody else the call-in number. If you'd like to call in and join our conversation, it's area code 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. It's been a lot of fun having you on the show, Gav. That's great.
Do you want any of these bad jokes?
Yes. We need a bad joke for the road. Give us one more.
Oh, no. Well, I wasn't going to.
I know. But just give us one more.
Well, okay. Where is medicine first mentioned in the Bible? When God gave Moses 2 tablets.
It was hilarious. We're so funny in here.
Something like that. So, I'm curious where you see that line too. I think that was a great question.
Yeah.
Because, Gavin mentioned a couple of different areas where it wouldn't, I mean, which are just, are there where the pain is so deep.
Yeah.
And the tragedy is so deep.
Yeah.
That there's just no room for laughter, for humor. But I would say that more often than not, it's a part, even in death is a part.
Absolutely.
And there are ways to find humor in it. We actually were just visiting with a church member this week and he is dying. Mm-hmm. He is actively dying, and we know that. And we told him we were on the church has had a number of deaths in a very short period of time, which is very sad and very tragic. And so we said to him, we're on our way to the funeral of another church member. And he looked at Gavin and said, "Well, you practice up good for me."
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so mm-hmm. even though he's in the midst
yeah.
of dying,
yeah.
he still was yeah. able to crack a joke and to find humor and to yeah. To bring some levity into you know, what can be a very difficult mm-hmm. situation.
And I'll tell you, I didn't used to be as humorous. I mean, I've gotten more funny, I would say, and more open to humor in the last 10 years or so, and certainly in the last 5 years, because I've experienced some trauma. And mm-hmm. I think trauma, that, you know, humor was a way that I dealt with some of the changes in my life. And, you know, certainly divorce can be, I mean, it wasn't funny in the moment. And certainly there are things about my divorce that aren't funny, but... And now we're laughing because Gavin
is leaving for the third time.
You got everything? I got my glasses second time.
You got everything? You got
your shoes? Do you have your head?
Yeah.
Very funny. Anyway.
So, you know, going through a divorce really required me to tap into humor. I mean, it can be... the only thing sometimes, and certainly that self-depreciating humor. I mean, Lord, I learned to laugh at myself in a way that I had no idea that I could. And that comes out of embarrassment. You know, it comes out of being uncomfortable. And so you find ways to sort of make jokes at yourself. And I think for me, the boundaries with humor come from certainly, you know, what you all mentioned, and also making fun or depreciating another person's experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, and that can be a difficult, sometimes that can be a real gray area. And I always err on the side of caution with that. And, you know, in the fall semester, I spent a lot of time working with the protest action that was happening in New York City and Staten Island and Ferguson. And that wasn't funny. There were times that we laughed. But, you know, I was also a person of, you know, a white person dealing with the experiences of people of color. And it was what I saw as my responsibility to follow their lead, to understand where my place was to, you know, listen more than speak. And sometimes that meant, editing what I would normally, you know, say out loud. Yeah. And so, you know, I think that's kind of where I see the humor line. But I tell you, I laughing in church is so important to me, and I have become so I get my little red flag, my little sensors go off if I go to a worship service and there's no laughter or there's no moment to like chuckle or
no
have
levity.
A little, there's nothing light. I don't think that my experience of the divine is not heavy and morose or frightening or demure, maybe demure, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not always contemplative.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And laughter is really an important part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely think that laughter belongs in church. And of course, my work with children, we laugh all the time. Mm-hmm. So I think there's more, like you said, more room for it than not. more room for it than not.
Yeah, you know, like, well, this past Sunday being Pentecost is a great example of, you know, just the scripture reading itself has humor in it.
Oh, it sure does.
And, you know, when Paul is talking to the crowds and they've had the dissension of the Holy Spirit and people are saying, well, you know, what's going on here? These people are drunk.
Yep.
And Paul comes back and says, they're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Like, they couldn't be drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning, which of course they could be. They're not, because it's only 9 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
You know, it's like, and you know, and it was funny that, you know, even as our liturgist was reading the scripture in worship on Sunday, people were chuckling.
Yeah.
Because it is kind of funny, you know, it's like Paul going, oh, they can't be drunk.
Well,
it's 9 o'clock.
Right. And the fact
is, it's way too early in the day. Catch him later.
Right.
Catch him at six.
Right. And the fact that, like, they're doing that, they're speaking in tongues and all this stuff, and people think they must be drunk.
Like,
there's no other explanation for this.
Right.
Than
are these people?
They're
drunk.
Their own inebriation.
Right.
9 in the morning.
At 9 in the morning.
And Paul's like, no.
No. But it wasn't like, you know, I mean, I think in some circles it would be like, well, they can't be drunk. They're Christian.
Right.
Like, so, you know, people who are Christian don't drink. Well, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially in biblical times where the wine was much safer to drink than the water.
Ooh, yeah.
So, yeah. You know, and love the fact that Jesus' first miracle in the book of John was to turn that water into wine.
That's right.
So
That's right.
We have less than 10 minutes. Whoosh. We're going to have to wrap things up. And we want to make sure that if you have any last minute questions or comments, that you are welcome to give out. That number is 646-716-9397. 646-716-9397. And we realize that most of you listen to us on our archive version. So
yeah.
We hope that you'll give us some feedback about what you like about the show, what you don't like about the show, who you'd like to hear on the show.
Yeah.
Please do that through our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Like us on Spirit Speaking with Reverend Jen and Rebecca so that we can keep you up to date on all of the happenings. As we said, we're on the second and the fourth Monday nights of the month, barring technical difficulties. And we are always open to having your suggestions for people that you'd like to hear and you are and subjects that you'd like to talk about. So Rebecca, is there anything that you want to let our listeners know that's exciting in
my world and in my life?
Well,
in spiritually speaking world, I just want to plug that our June 8th show will be live. I will be live. Jen will be joining us via telecom, and we'll be live with John Russell Stanger, who is the executive director of Parity, which was formerly Presbyterian Welcome. And we'll put his information and that information on our Facebook page. He also was the subject of a documentary called Out of Order, which just did a successful crowdfunding campaign to put their editing. Out of Order is a documentary about pastors who are of the LGBTQIS, who identify that way and are seeking ordination. So either in particular denominations. So John Russell Stanger is subject of that, in addition to some other folks that John is going to tell us about. It's a really exciting project. And he's also going to tell us more about what Parity has on and so has going on. So I'm excited about that show, and that'll be June 8th. June 8th.
Yeah, we're really excited. Glad to be welcoming John Russell to the program. He is sort of a newly minted executive director of right. this newly rebranded organization. Right. And I want to give a shout out to my goddaughter, Katie Barnes, who is this summer doing the BLGT tour, which is eat a BLG in parentheses T, a BLT, a bacon, butter, and tomato sandwich, a BLGT for equality. And so if possible, maybe we can get Katie to come on in 2 weeks and talk about the work that she's doing and the tour that she's engaged in. She's been so far, she started in New York City and she's been to P-Town on Cape Cod.
Wonderful.
And is just spending the summer driving around and being at locations on different times, encouraging people to eat BLGTs for equality. And again, talk about humor in a really light way, because everybody loves the BLT.
I love it.
And so you just add a little G in there and you get a BLGT, and you can support equality and same-sex marriage, same-gender marriage, and folks who do identify in a variety of gender expressions.
Yeah.
And so we'll see if we can get them on there. And
I want to mention too, just to piggyback on that, that, you know, it's so exciting. Both John Russell and Katie are young folks. And I just want to lift that up, that there are so many people who are doing advocacy work, who are under 30, who are, and like who are really, you know, using their resources. And so I just want to listen. And we have just a few minutes left.
Yeah, we're going to just be wrapping things up. So please do join us on June the 8th, which is our next show, the second Monday in June at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific. And write down our call-in number so you'll have it handy for our next show, which is 646-716-9397, 646-716-9397. If you'd like to be in touch with either Rebecca or I individually, you can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Coach Rev Jen at Twitter, and Rebecca is
at A New A-N-E-W, A New Rebecca, R-E-B-E-C-C-A. You can tweet me, get in touch with me there.
Follow her on Twitter, and you're welcome to please come and visit my website, which is jenniferhopekotler.com, to learn more about the work that I do in spiritual direction and in life and leadership coaching. So Wonderful. Thank you for being a part of the show tonight, for listening, for always listening. Sorry that we weren't able to make a big splash about our second anniversary, but it's really exciting to be going into our third year on Blog Talk Radio on the Life Coach Radio Network. And as far as I am aware, I am the longest standing host on the Life Coach Radio Network.
That's a big deal.
Well, I was the first solo host
Wonderful.
On the show when it Wonderful. Started, and that was May 7th of 20. I'm excited to be going into my third year and appreciate all of your goodwills and good wishes. You know, things pop up on LinkedIn, so of course you can always find me on LinkedIn as well. Again, I'm going to spell my last name. It's Jennifer, standard spelling, Hope, HOPEKOTTLER. Last words, Rebecca?
Just thank you. And for your 2 year anniversary is my 1 year anniversary. Thank Yay. You for this journey with you. It's so exciting. I love it. And I'd love to hear from listeners, and I'm looking forward to many, many, many more.
Excellent. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Good
Have
night.
Have a great night. Bye-bye.